Amen. Well, thank you, Lenny. Appreciate it. And that was a fun introduction. I am currently serving as the assistant superintendent on the Intermountain District, and I have a wife named Nicole. So if you can remember that, Nicole. And three daughters, Audra, Austin, and Ava, and they're all over the world today, all over the U.S., and so I was able to bring my father here. So if you'll welcome my dad, this is Bob. And today's Father's Day, so it's good to be able to be with him, and yesterday was his birthday, and so, you know, we could sing happy birthday as a closing or something like that, right? But yeah, thank you for allowing me to be here, and I don't mind being like eighth place speaker or whatever. I mean, it sounds like it's better than at least having to listen to Troy one more time, right? So, no, but we appreciate you loaning Troy to us for district high school camp. It's pretty amazing the work that God did through his life, and I was up there for just part of a day and just heard some stories about how God had used him in a great way, and so thank you for being willing to serve up there. And I want to invite you to Trinity Pines for family camp in August 12th through 14th. Dr. Chombo, who is our general superintendent, will be there with his wife, and if you're at district assembly, you'll know that he is an amazing speaker, and I know you'll be blessed if you're able to come to family camp in August. It is a great time. So I do want to say happy Father's Day to you. I did do some research, and I found several things that you'll never hear a dad say. Okay, you should never hear a dad say these things. Number one, a dad would never say, well, it looks like we're lost. We'll have to stop and ask for... Very good. Wow, you guys are smart. You'll never hear a dad say this. Well, you know, sweetie, now that you're 13, you'll be ready to go for unchaperoned car dates. Won't that be fun? You'll never hear a dad say that. Another thing you'll never hear a dad say, I noticed that all your friends just have a hostile attitude. I really like that. Your dad will never say, well, here's my credit card and keys to the new car. Go crazy, have fun. Well, maybe some of you have heard that. Or this one, your mom and I are going away for the weekend. You might want to consider throwing a... You'll never hear a dad say that. And maybe a dad would say this, what'd you go get a job for? I make plenty of money for you to spend. And then finally, you won't ever hear a dad say this. When asked, what do you want for Father's Day? You won't hear a dad say, oh, nothing. Don't worry about it. It's no big deal. I don't need anything. Right? No, you won't hear a dad say that because dads want things on Father's Day. So kids, what did you get your dad for Father's Day? I see a few kids in here. Do we get any good Father's Day gifts? What did you get? I see a nod of the head. Yeah?
I got my daddy a water bottle and a bug.
A water bottle and a bug. Excellent. A mug. Oh, not a mug. A bug. A bug. Not a mug. Okay. You know, you get older and you're hard of hearing. Any other good gifts for Father's Day? Yeah, what?
Bullets.
Ammunition. Now that is a good Father's Day gift. I was doing some research because apparently it's hard to buy gifts for dads. It's like very difficult to buy gifts for dads. And they said the number one gift for 2022 is a milk frother for dad. Did you get a milk frother? Oh, you already had one. I see. Okay. So every year I ask for the same thing from my kids. And it's free for them to give to me. I don't expect much on Father's Day. I just want one simple thing. It's easy for them. It's free. I ask every year for a foot massage. And I never get a foot massage for Father's Day. I thought that would be the best gift. Well, those are things that you never hear a dad say, but there are some things that you want to hear a dad say, and you love hearing dad say. but maybe you don't always expect it. Things that you'd love to hear from your dad are simple things like, I love you, son. I love you, daughter. Or right as I got out of the truck, my dad said, I'm praying for you. You want to hear dad say that? Or what can I be praying for you today for? Or saying something to you like, I'm proud of you. I believe in you. Or hearing your dad say something like this, I trust you to make the right decision. You're an amazing young man or young woman. Or you want your dad to say something like, you know, God has great things in store for your life. Don't you want to hear a dad say something like that? I know that on Father's Day, we celebrate dads. We buy them old colorful ties and take them out to steak and hopefully give them, you know, foot massages. But what we're really looking for from a dad on Father's Day is leadership. And not just any type of leadership, but spiritual leadership. I think about my dad on Father's Day, and it's been great to drive up with my dad on Father's Day. I'm very appreciative of the legacy of faith, the heritage of faith. And I have amazing memories with my dad, going to soccer tournaments and going fishing and growing up, family vacations. But I have one distinct memory that will always stay with me. It was at 10466 Riley Court, Boise, Idaho, where we lived. And I walked down the stairs one day, and in at the bottom of the stairs is a living room. And as I was coming down to get ready for school, I saw my dad kneeling at the sofa, and he was praying. And I remember so clearly in that moment going, I think he's praying for me right now. And it was such a huge impact on my life that, wow, my dad is praying for me. See, that is spiritual leadership. That is spiritual leadership. It's praying, it's serving, it's surrendering, it's kneeling at the feet of Jesus. And I think that's the most important gift that my dad has given to me, is spiritual leadership. See, all of us come into Father's Day with a different story. In fact, more than half of you here aren't fathers. And so this is really a message for all of us today. And like Lenny said, some of us have had different father experiences. Absent father or an abusive father or a strained relationship with our father. But one thing that we can get from God's word today as we dive in is that there is a place for us all as spiritual leaders in our home, in our school, in the places that we work, in the community that we live in. Amen? I just recently finished a book by Ruth Haley Barton called Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership. And there's a section that caught my attention because I'm doing some work on leadership right now. And she says, what distinguishes between leadership and spiritual leadership? She's kind of discussing this idea of leadership. What's the distinguishes between leadership and spiritual leadership? And then she says this, the heart of spiritual leadership is a word called discernment. Can you say that with me? Discernment. Discernment. She defines discernment as this, the capacity to recognize and respond to the presence and activity of God, both personally and in community. Did you catch that? Spiritual leadership is the ability to recognize and respond to the presence and activity of God, both personally in our lives and in our community. And so I ask the question today, what type of discernment do you need for today? Maybe you're a father here today. Maybe you're not a father here today. You're a student or a kid, or you're in college, or you're trying to make decisions as a single mom or as a grandparent here today. You may not even be a Christian that has walked in here today. Praise the Lord for that. But guess what? God wants to give the gift of discernment to all of us today, whether you're a father or not. God wants to give us the gift of discernment as individuals, as family units, discernment as the body of Christ here in Baker. So if you have your Bibles today, I'd love for you to pull them out. I'm going to be in Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. I just believe that Jesus wants to give us the gift of spiritual leadership and discernment today, so that we might be spiritual leaders in our world. So if you have your Bibles, I'm in Exodus chapter 13. Now let me give you a little background here. The Israelites, they've been enslaved in Egypt for many years. You know this guy named Moses. He's been chosen and he's called them out, brought them out of bondage and into freedom and the life. He's given them signs and wonders. Do you remember the signs and wonders? I just want to stop for a minute and realize, hey, listen, God is faithful. Yeah, can I get an amen? God is faithful. Amen. Amen. He's given them signs and wonders along the way. He's led them through so many things. And let me just remind you and just tell you, God is faithful in your life. If you were to look back on the many adventures that you've gone through, can you say that God is faithful? And, you know, I'm going through kind of an annoying thing right now, trying to learn a little bit of spiritual discernment, learn some patience. And when I remember back how God's been faithful through my life, I wonder, why can't I just remember that faithfulness for tomorrow and for today? So he has this big showdown with Pharaoh, and here they are going into the land flowing with milk and honey. And let's look at Exodus 13 starting in Exodus chapter 13 starting in verse 17. It says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though it was shorter and possibly easier. God said, if they faced war, they might change their minds. So verse 18, so he led them around the desert road towards the Red Sea. Sometimes, as we walk through this life, we go the desert road. But let me remind you something. God is faithful. And this is a story, as we get into it, of spiritual discernment. See, they had to learn to recognize the presence of God. Look down at verse 21. By day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light, so they could travel by both day and night. See, the cloud and the fire represented and was the presence of God wherever they went. They had to learn the discernment of following the presence of God wherever it went. See, the presence of God is more important than our position. Let me say that again. The presence of God is more important than our position. Our position in life, how we compare ourselves to others, how we look at ourselves, our comforts, our expectations. I would rather have the presence of God through the desert road, discerning His presence, than anything else. Barton says in her book, for Moses as the leader, this involved entering into God's presence regularly and routinely and asking God what he should do and then leading the people that way. See, the first step in discernment, the first step in spiritual leadership is entering into the presence of God regularly and routinely. So you have to ask yourself the question this morning, how am I doing at entering into the presence of God? You know, if you were to rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, not under condemnation, but under challenge, how am I at entering into the presence of God? Moses here in this situation, he had to learn discernment by recognizing the presence of God in activity of God individually so he could lead a nation corporately. Your pastor and the pastor team individually has to recognize the presence of God so they can lead this body corporately. You as a dad, you as a mom, you need to learn to recognize the presence of God so that you can lead your family. So that you can lead in your home and in your place of work and in your school and in your community. See, I love this part. When the presence of God moved, they moved. And when the presence of God stayed, they stayed. Pretty simple in life. I'm going to ask you to flip over to Exodus 33 now because this story picks up a little bit later. So just flip over a few chapters. Exodus 33, verse 9. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke to Moses. Verse 10, chapter 33. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they stood and they what? They worshiped. Say it with me. They what? They worshiped. Maybe another lesson for us today is that the presence of God is something for us to worship. See, spiritual leadership and discernment and discerning and understanding the presence of God has to do with worship. They all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance of the tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as he talks to a friend. Look at verse 12 and 13, a beautiful prayer from Moses, chapter 33. Moses said, "You've been telling me to lead these people. You've not let me know who you will send with me. You've said, 'I know you by name, and that you have found favor with me. So if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I might know you and continue to find favor with you.'" Look at verse 14. "Then the Lord replied, 'My presence will go with you and I will give you rest.'" I think that's a promise for us today. That God's presence will go with us and he will give us rest. And so Moses responds, "If your presence doesn't go, then don't send us here. I don't want to go anywhere without the presence of God." Verse 16, "How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from the other people on the earth?" See, that's the difference between leadership and spiritual leadership. Some of you are teachers or principals. You know what educational leadership is. You know what business leadership is. You know what healthcare leadership is. You know what all forms of leadership is. But the difference in spiritual leadership is that the presence of God goes with you. Verse 16, "What else will distinguish us?" What else will distinguish us as great dads, as great followers of Jesus, is the presence of God. But it takes discernment. It takes wisdom. It takes the closeness and intimacy of God, the worship of God. This is the heart of spiritual leadership. Now, I would love just have a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. Oh, that's easy. The pillar of clouds over here, I'll just come over here. Pillar of fire's over here, I'll just come over here. Seems a lot easier in those days. How do you discern the presence of God? I was reading another Father's Day letter between a son and a dad. Do you have that slide of the Father's Day letter? I think it was a son in college, and he says this, "Dear Dad, school is really great. I'm making lots of friends and studying very hard. With all my stuff, I simply can't think of anything that I need. So if you would like, you could just send me a nice card, as I would love to hear from you, your son." Do you think that would take a lot of spiritual discernment to understand what the son is saying there? Can you read the dollar signs? So the father replies this, "Dear son, I know that astronomy and economics and oceanography are enough to keep any honor student busy. Do not forget that the pursuit of knowledge is a noble task. You can never study too much, Dad." See, we learn how to distinguish and discern, don't we? That's a discerning dad right there. So some may ask, how do I discern what God's trying to say to me? Is he writing me a simple letter like this? Is there a cloud? Is there fire? Well, I want you to flip now to Acts chapter 2. If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to flip to Acts chapter 2. It's just a little bit later in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. And it's describing this day of Pentecost. And I want to read just a portion to it. It says, starting in verse 1, Acts chapter 2, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Verse 3, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on them." Check this out. "All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit." See, in the Old Testament, God gave them a pillar of fire. But what he does to distinguish them now, and we're living under a new covenant, is he's giving them a pillar of fire named the Holy Spirit that actually lives within us and is among us. All of you have little pillars of fire that represent God's presence that wants to go with you. Little pillars that declare the good news of Jesus. See, the discernment of God is within you, because the presence of God goes before you. It's challenging in our culture because we're intellectual, we're thinkers, we're brainiacs, we're logical. We like to try to predict the future. Anyone like to try to predict the future? I spend so much time trying to just figure out what the future has. We have to learn to move beyond our intellectual strength and go into a place of surrendering. Haley Ruth Barton says this in her book, "Deep listening to the Spirit of God within us, because he is within and among us." This is what's called personal discernment, and personal discernment must come before corporate discernment is realized. Where do we see this happening? See, I don't think discernment happens in a vacuum. It doesn't happen by ourselves. It happens with people that are communing together, that understand the presence of God. I'm going to ask you now to flip over to Acts chapter 15 real quick. We're just going through a whole survey of the Bible real quick here. Acts chapter 15. Really important question is being asked as the early church is trying to discern this process. they're trying to understand what is going next, and there's a huge question out there. Look at verse chapter 15, verse, we'll just start in verse 1. Certain people came from Judea and Antioch, and they were teaching the believers. They taught them this: unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. How about that? According to Moses, who was our hero just a little bit ago. I love this verse 2. This brought Paul and Barnabas into a sharp dispute and this debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed along with some other believers to go to Jerusalem, see the apostles and elders about this very question. Do they have to be circumcised in order to be saved? So as they sent them on their way, they went down, look at verse 4. They came to Jerusalem. They were welcomed by the church, the apostles and the elders, whom they reported everything that God had done through them. Verse 7, well, look at verse 6. The apostles and elders meant to consider this question. This is the heart of discernment. A person with individual discernment is now into a group setting of corporate discernment. And they ask the question, is this true? Look at verse 7. After much discussion. It's funny how it goes on right after this, after much discussion. Have you ever had one of those conversations that has much discussion? It doesn't just go into the very next line. Much discussion sometimes takes hours, days, weeks, months. This is the heart of discernment. What was in that discussion? Well, it's Paul and Barnabas reporting how God is working in their lives and converting Gentiles. It's watching how God has moved through a variety of ways in the Gentile community. It's Peter telling stories of a vision of a sheet coming down and him being asked, what? I can't eat these unclean animals. And then being sent to a centurion's house, to Cornelius. Amazing story of how God has rescued this man and his family. It's stories of Philip helping the Ethiopian understand the scripture and then baptizing him, right? This is much discussion. It's James understanding Old Testament scripture. And I just read this morning in Isaiah 49, I have made you a light unto the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to them and the ends of the earth. See, much discussion is the heart of discernment. And much discussion with the gift of the Holy Spirit in us is the heart of discernment. And so Peter stands up and says, it's my judgment that we should not make it difficult. See, first they had to listen. Then they had to process. Finally, they needed a leader to sum up everything that God was saying to them. And I believe this message is for all of us today, not just fathers in the room, not just men in the room. But kids, as you go along your way, as you go into school, as young adults, as you go into college or go into the workforce, as moms and dads and grandparents in this room. God has a gift for you as a spiritual leader where you have influence. And He wants to give you the gift of discernment, but it takes time listening to the Spirit. It takes time in the quiet places kneeling. It takes time in spiritual disciplines of reading God's word. It takes time listening to others, practicing silence. Discernment takes practice. And I want to invite you today into that practice. Barton says this at the very end of her book. She says, the spiritual leader is distinguished by his or her commitment and ability to guide the discernment process so that the community can affirm a shared sense of God's desire for them as you move forward. And so as you think about today, what's that next big decision in my life? What's that hard thing that I'm carrying? What's that phase that's really difficult right now? I want to invite you, as Romans 12:2 would say, don't be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what? God's will. You'll be able to test and approve, test and discern God's will, His good and pleasing and perfect will for your life. So I want to give you an invitation this week. Will you commit to a time of prayer and worship and listening? And then will you commit to find another person and have a trusted conversation with them? Man, I'm really struggling with this. Can you help me discern the presence of God in this situation? Can you help me understand what God wants to say to me in this situation? It might be driving home today. It might be coffee with somebody tomorrow. But I'd invite you to find another Christian brother or sister and invite them into a conversation about spiritual things so that you might be given this gift of discernment. You know, I believe the best way for us to honor our fathers today, honor the men in our lives today, is that we take a heritage of faith that has been given to us, and that we walk in spiritual leadership because the past that they've been given us will inform the future that we give to our kids and our grandkids. Amen? Amen. I want to invite you to pray with me as we close today. Father, thank you for the Word of God that is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword that penetrates into our soul and being. And Father, I pray that the Word of God would penetrate into our lives today. Father, that you would give us wisdom, understanding, discernment, the presence of God. Father, we ask that just like Moses watched fire as the presence of God, that we would invite the Holy Spirit to be the presence of God within us today. Help us to say yes. We don't want to go anywhere that you are not. And so, Father, each person here today, I ask for your anointing, for your favor, for your presence, and for your peace. We pray these things in the priceless name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, would you stand with me? Let me read this benediction to you before you go today. This is out of Hebrews. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, may that God of peace equip you with every good thing for doing his will, that he may work within us. Amen? Amen. To him be glory forever and ever in the church. May God bless you as you go.